Well, this morning I would like to read the scripture first, and then I have some things I'd like to just share with us as a church. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, and a very familiar Christmas passage, and a number of things that are there, but I want to pull out the one theme, that Jesus being, his name being Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, there's many themes we could pull out of this passage. The virgin birth, I think, is a huge one that we need to be reminded of at Christmas, that that God came down and became flesh. Jesus became flesh, dwelt among us. The virgin birth, that 1 John tells us, is the key to truth. He says anyone that denies that happened is false, is a false teacher. And so, it's again, very important, the whole idea of the prophetic, that God prophesied this in advance, that none of these events were, that they didn't just happen, that they were in part of God's mind and plan for many years. He revealed them as the passage that was read earlier about that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Many prophecies in the Old Testament are pointing us to the Savior coming. The whole picture of Jesus, his name being Jesus, meaning Savior, who would save us from their sins. But the one I want to pick up, the theme I want to pick up today is the whole subject of Jesus being, his name being Emmanuel, being with, which means God with us. Now, this is an area that I think God has been speaking to me about, and I hope maybe I can just relay some of those things to us as well, that we will live our lives in a way that we would truly believe God is with us. Now, if I say to you, God is with you, what goes through your mind? What do you think about? Does it stir your heart? Does it move you forward with courage? I think those words are called to move us forward with courage. I was interesting, both passages that Conrad and Pam read, the one in Philippians 4, verse 5 says, the Lord is near. And the Zephaniah passage twice in the translation they used said, God is with you. And so it was God's way of saying, I am close and I am with you. And this is, I think, something that we struggle with sometimes believing as Christians in our day-to-day work life, the things that we do, that God is near. But we're called, I think, as Christians to live our lives with that truth, that God is with us. Marion has a friend, Marcia, was a missionary in Austria, and one day she was teaching her little boy about not taking rides with strangers and be aware of strangers. And as a parent, you know, there's always this kind of, you don't want your kids to live in fear, but you want to warn them of certain things. And so she was struggling, kind of, you know, how does she kind of warn her kids about strangers and not taking rides with strangers and things like that. And then the other side, teaching them to trust God and experience God's goodness and protection. And so she was having this talk with her little son, and all of a sudden her son, he pipes up and he says, Mom, you know what the coolest thing is? That we have God with us, and they don't even know that. And it's just sometimes kids just have this way of grabbing hold of things that little truths that are so life changing and impacting and powerful. So in this past year, this is I think a theme that God probably has to remind me of more often than I care to admit. And so sometimes I need a little extra help. And I like to have a theme verse for a year. It doesn't always happen that way. But last year, I'm not sure exactly when this was, but I felt the Lord really lay on my heart Psalm 73 and verse 28, which says this: "But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." The nearness of God is my good. That was the phrase that I wanted to live out in this year. I will admit I have failed many times with really experiencing God or recognizing His nearness in every area of life. So what Marian did for me is, I'll show off a little bit of Marian's artistry. She put this together for me. She made this, and I have this sitting on my desk. And so it's right in front of me. If I'm not looking at my computer, I can look at this. And it's a reminder that the nearness of God is my good. We have a God whose name is Emmanuel, God with us. And that nearness is good to us. When God is near to us, that's a good thing. That's a blessing that we need to experience and need to be reminded of every day. So the main thought that I want to leave with us today, that Emmanuel, God with us, is a sign in times of trouble and silence and places and times of fear that God is with us, and it's a call for courage and faith to move us forward in the purposes of God. So what I did, and I'm not going to read all of them, but what I did is I just went through Scripture and said, okay, how many times does Scripture say God is with us, or when God speaks to His people? And I didn't get them all. There was the one in Zephaniah that I did not get because my translation uses different things. And so, but God spoke to Abraham and said, "I am with you." God was with Abraham. God spoke to Isaac, and He says, "This sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you." People would look at Isaac and say, "We see plainly that the Lord has been with you." God spoke to Isaac in Genesis 26 and said, "Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants." God spoke to Jacob and He says, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised you." God spoke to Joseph. God was with Joseph. It says the Lord was with Joseph, so he became successful. God spoke to Moses, and Moses said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" And God says, "Certainly I will be with you." God was saying, you know what? You don't need to know all the answers. And Moses is asking, "Who am I that I should do this?" God just says, "I'll be with you. That's all the answer you need. That's going to be enough. I will be with you, and whatever I'm going to command you to do, I will provide that which you will need." Do we believe God is with us? God said to Joshua, "Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God spoke to Gideon, and it says the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." And so immediately Gideon turns it around and says, you know, if God is with us, then how come all these things have happened? God was with Samuel. God was with David. God was with His people Israel. Over and over we hear those words, "God is with you." God was with Jesus. It says in John chapter 16, verse 32, "Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered and each to his own home and leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me." So Jesus said, there's time coming when everyone's going to leave me and everyone's going to be scattered. But I am not alone. The Father is with me. So that's how Jesus lived his life. And New Testament believers, there's numerous passages of Scripture, but Jesus said in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." In Mark chapter 16, in the Great Commission, it says, "So then, when the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by signs that followed." Acts 11:21, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and large numbers who believed turned to the Lord." Over and over in Scripture, we have those words, "The Lord is with you." How does that change your outlook on life? How does that change the circumstances that you are facing right now? Really, it changes everything. When you think about it, the Lord is with you. And so let's look at that and just make some comments and look at some scripture on these things. But I think that's the very simple truth I want to leave with you. And I think that's what really makes us different as Christians than anyone else, any other person on the face of planet Earth, is that the Lord is with us as his people. So with God being with us implies a lot of things. It implies that God will lead us. If he's with us, he will lead us. He will guide us. He will help us. If the picture to me of the Lord being with us, he will help us in doing what we are called to do. If the Lord is with us, he will protect us. He will provide for us. He will strengthen us. He will speak to us. He will reveal himself to us. So not only is God with us, but Scripture also would tell us that he is for us. Now, the struggle here, I think, is that we theologically can say, yeah, God is with us, or we can look and read the stories and the accounts of Scripture that God was with Joseph, or God was with Daniel, or God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. God was with them. But translating it into our lives is probably the difficult part. We are probably too many times like the disciples on the road to Emmaus. We are struggling through our faith and we're kind of like, okay, where is God when all of this is going on? Where is God when I'm going through this? And yet Jesus was walking right beside these two disciples as they grappled with that issue. Why did all of this happen? And yet Jesus was right there with them and they didn't recognize him. And so I think that's where the key is. We don't recognize his presence. We don't realize that he is with us even when we don't feel it, when we don't, we can't hear and experience. It's still, we have to embrace that truth by faith and trust that God is with us. Now, on Friday night, Marion and I went to a viewing service for her cousin's wife that passed away, and we met one of Marion's cousins. And just in this past year, he's a pastor, a minister in Mexico, and he's had an incredibly difficult time. He was God was working on his heart to go full time into ministry and to hand his business over to his 20-something-year-old son, or maybe early 30s-year-old son. And just as that process was happening, and the son had agreed to take over the business, the son was killed in a motorcycle accident. And Marion's cousin Arden, we just went through an incredible deep valley with that. How could this be that here, as he's dedicating himself into God's, to the deeper work of what God wanted to do in his heart, here all of a sudden his son is taken from him, and now he can't really hand the business over to anybody. And meanwhile, his faith just took a spiral downward, and like, where was God? And here I'm having this conversation, and I don't have any answers, really. What do you say in a situation like that? What do you say to somebody except, I don't know why, because there are no answers to a why question like that. But it's in times like that we need to hear, God is with you. God is with us. So the root of this Emmanuel, God with us, the prophecy is found in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And I think there's some interesting context to that passage. King Ahaz was the king at the time. He was, there's not very much good stuff written about King Ahaz. He actually led the people into idolatry, to Baal worship, and ultimately had an altar built to the gods of Syria, Aram. And so he was not a godly person by any means. means. And yet, during his time, Syria and Aram, Syria or Aram was going to invade their country along with the northern kingdoms of Israel, of Ephraim. And so he was afraid. And just to give you a little bit of a sense of how afraid he was, in Isaiah 7 verse 2, it says, "His heart shook, and the hearts of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake with the wind." That's how the scriptures define or declare how afraid he was. He was vibrating. He was shaking like the trees of the forest shake in the wind. So that gives you a bit of a picture of how afraid he was of this invasion that was coming to him. In Isaiah 7 verses 5 and 6, it says, "Because Aram with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has planned evil against you, saying, 'Let us go against Judah and terrorize it and make for ourselves a breach in its walls and set up the son of Tabeel, a king in the midst of us.' Thus says the Lord God, it shall not pass, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass." So the enemies were saying, "We are going to terrorize them." And so to me, it's just in a world where we are hearing terrorism all over, it's in that kind of a context, it's in that kind of a world, God speaks and he says, "Do not be afraid. I am with you. This child will be born. His name will be Emmanuel, God with you." That's God's answer to terrorism. God's answer to terrorism is, "I am with you." And we need to be reminded of that. And as the same way Ahaz was, Ahaz struggled though to believe it, because God says, "Ask a sign. You can ask a sign for me that I am real." Now, Ahaz was struggling with his faith. He was going into idolatry. And God says, "Ahaz, I want to give you a sign. You ask whatever the sign is going to be, I'm going to give you the sign." And Ahaz refused to ask God for the sign. And finally, God says, "I'm going to give you a sign." And that sign would be that a virgin would give birth to a child and his name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. So God has given the world a sign. And that sign is Jesus, that he is God with us. So with that, it's a sign for good, that God is aware of what's happening in our lives. It's a sign meant to restore faith and hope. It's a sign that God is at work and has a larger plan for our lives. So as we think about what is this significance of this, let me just give you some thoughts. First of all, it's a message that the message that God is with us should provide the courage to move forward when with God's will in difficult times. Is it difficult to be a Christian? Yes, it is. Are there challenges with that? Yes, there are. Is God's work difficult? Yes, it is. Those are all things that are true. But in the book of Haggai, and I think Trevor touched on some of this when he preached a short series on Haggai a couple summers ago here, the main message of the book of Haggai is God is with you. Let me give you two verses. In Haggai chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, 'I am with you, declares the Lord.'" Simple message. God is saying, "You're building this temple, and there's all kinds of opposition. These people are trying to stop what you're doing." God just has three words: "I am with you." And so in Haggai 2, verse 4 and 5, it says this: "But now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all you people in the land. Take courage, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts." So he says, take courage, I am with you. Do the work that you started this temple, you started this rebuilding, and yes, there's opposition, but I am with you. Take courage and work. Do the things that I've asked you to do, because I am with you. God is with us to cure our fear and discouragement. Joshua 1 verse 9, I read part of it. This is God speaking to Joshua. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Psalm 23 verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Isaiah 41:10, probably many of you have this one memorized, but it's, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, surely I will help you, surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Jeremiah 30 verse 11 says, "For I am with you, declares the Lord, to save you. So with that, we have to also remember that this is probably the place of some of our greatest spiritual struggles. And we're not alone in that place. There's that struggle to believe that God is with us when we can't see it, when things are going totally different than what we had hoped for or we were thinking they would be. So let me give you some biblical examples where people in Scripture struggled with this truth that God was with them. The first one is found in Exodus chapter 17 and verses 1 to 7. The people of Israel had come out of Egypt. They have come through the Red Sea. They've seen God with them. They have this pillar of fire that goes with them. At night, they have this cloud that's covering, that's watching over them. They know God's presence is there. But they're forever coming up against dead ends. One time they come to water that's bitter. The next time there's not enough food. And in Exodus 17, they come to the place and there's no water. And so they begin to grumble. They grumble against God. And they said, grumble against Moses. Like, why did you bring us out here? We had water in Egypt. We had good food in Egypt. We had all this. And God speaks to them, to Moses, and says, bring them to the rock at Horeb, and I want you to strike the rock, and as you strike that rock, water is going to come out. And the picture here is of Jesus, who is the one who was struck, and living water flows from him. And so that's kind of the picture, the spiritual picture that was there. But in all of this, verse 7, let me just read to you verse 7 of Exodus 17, it says this. He named that place Massa and Meribah, because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? That was the question. That was what they were really grappling with. The issue was they were struggling to believe God. We're coming up against all these dead ends, all these challenges. Is the Lord among us or not? How many times have you and I asked that same question? Is the Lord really with me? How can I really know He is with me? Jesus is that sign. God is Emmanuel. God is with us. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. So that's the first place where people said, is God really among us or not? How are we going to know? And God was angry. God was frustrated with this. Judges chapter 6, verses 12 and 14, 12 to 13, this is the story, the account of Gideon. So Gideon is in his wine press threshing out his little bit of wheat so the Midianites wouldn't just steal it and wouldn't destroy it. And so he's afraid. It's a time of challenge and difficulty. And so the angel comes and he says, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Now Gideon did not feel like a valiant warrior at all. That was the last thing he probably would have expected God to say to him. And notice Gideon's struggle when Gideon replies to the angel with that message. Then Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? That's usually our first human response. Okay, if the Lord is with me, why did that happen? And how come this is happening? And how come this is going wrong? And I think that's our human nature. Gideon struggled with it, and God gave Gideon many signs and many, as he put out those fleeces, but the whole purpose of it was God wanted to confirm to Gideon that he was with him. So he says, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. So again, his struggle, the big root cause of it, the same as the people at the rock Horeb there, is the Lord among us or not? Gideon's like, how can we know God is with us? Where are all the miracles that have happened? What has happened here? Can some of you identify with some of these spiritual struggles? Exodus 32, that was when Moses was up on the mountain and he delayed coming. He was there for 40 days and the people started to struggle. And so what happens in Exodus 32 verse 1, it says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And so So they're saying, we want a God that will go before us. We want a God that's going to be with us. And we can't, this Moses has disappeared, and it seems like God has left us alone. People struggle with this. 2 Kings 1 verses 1 to 4 is the account of Ahaziah, and he was hurt, and finally he sends a messenger, and he says, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. And Elijah hears this, and he comes back and he sends messengers to the king, and he says this: is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? And so the whole reason he went somewhere else was, he's like, God has left me. God is no longer with me. And so I think that we need to be reminded that God is with us so that we don't go to the false gods of our age, that we don't go to those places. Now, there's all kinds of spiritual issues that come about when we forget that God is with us. And Psalm 78, you can read it through someday. It's just the account of God's people Israel and all the good things God did. And just over and over it says they forgot his deeds. They asked, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? They did not believe in God or did not trust his salvation. In spite of all this, they sinned and did not believe in his wonderful works. Over and over, Psalm 78 just reminds us of people that did not trust and did not experience God's presence. So when we think about this truth, here's some things I think we need to remember. First of all, God is with us even though we are unaware of his presence. God is with us even though we are unaware of his presence. Genesis 28, verses 15 and 16, this is Jacob as he was on his running from Esau, and he's at Bethel, and it says, God says, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. It says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. God was with him. God was leading him. God had a plan that he was going to fulfill. He had a promise that he had given to him. And yet he said, God just met me here. God just spoke to me. But I wasn't aware of the fact that God was in this place. And how many times would we have to be there? Would we be at that place and say, you know what, God is here, but I really don't feel it. I don't really understand. I mentioned the road to Emmaus, two disciples. Jesus was walking the road with them, and they were still unaware of his presence. God is with us even though we are unaware of his presence. We have to, at that place, say, I am believing, I am trusting that he is with me. God is with us when we gather in his name. Now, he may be with us personally in our workplace, but he is especially with us when two or three are gathered in his name. Matthew 18, 19, and 20 says, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that you may ask, it shall be done for you by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst. Romans 15, 33 says, now the God of peace be with you all. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4 says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus. So God is with us when we gather in his name. He is present when we as his people gather. God is with us in times of trouble. Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the hearts of the sea. In Psalm 46, twice it says, the Lord is with us. He is with us in times of trouble. So it seems especially he's a very present help in trouble. And it's in those times that we lean more in on his presence. God is with us in times of sorrow and loss, and even in the face of death. I think one of my favorite accounts is the story of the thief on the cross, who really had his whole life lived apart from God, and now he's being crucified right beside Jesus. And he just simply says those words, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. He in the midst of all of that sorrow and loss and death, Jesus says he would be with us. The widow of Nain had lost her son. Jesus interrupts the funeral and raises him from the dead. And what was the response of the people? God has visited his people. God is with us. God has visited his people. God's desire is to be with us. God wants to be with us in our ministry, in our service to him, in the things that you put your hand to do. God wants to be with us. He says he will be with us. Matthew 28:20 says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It was, for me, as I thought about this part, I had to go back to the first time I went to India. I had the opportunity, I had an invitation to go along to India, and that was a huge struggle for me. It was like, you know, do I ask for a leave of absence from my work at CP Rail? God, is this what you want me to do? That was kind of the question that I had. Was it a good thing? I believed it was. Is this something that God had for me? And it was not something that was out of my comfort zone. So I needed to be really, really sure that this was what God had for me to do. And so I had been praying about this for a couple of weeks, and I'd asked friends and close people around me, pray for me, I'm struggling with this, I really need to know that this is what God wants me to do. And so I often at that time was listening to scripture on CD, and the scripture I was listening to was Psalm 139, and in the NIV it says this, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. And it was just like those words just came off the CD. It was like, you know, sometimes when you're listening to, you know, huge portions of scripture, you kind of blank out every once in a while. And it was just like God just kind of brought it back to me. It was like, yes, this is what, even if I'm going to be on the far side of the sea, even there my righteous right hand will guide you and hold you. And it was like the confirmation of me, yes, even if I'm over there on that far side of the sea, God will be with me and he will watch over my life and over the service that I render in his name. Moses struggled with this, and he said, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. He says, I don't want to make another step. I don't want to go anywhere unless your presence will go with you, with us. And finally, God says to him, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he says God's presence would be what would define them as different from all the peoples of the earth. Jesus is with us in our storms. The disciples on the Sea of Galilee in the midst of the storms experienced him with him. We could go on and on. There'd be many circumstances that we experience God with us. Let me give you one more. God is with us in humiliating circumstances. This would be the kind of time where you would think God has left me alone. But in Isaiah 50, it's a prophecy of Jesus talking about being plucking out his beard and being hit on the cheeks. And verse 8 of Isaiah 50 says this, he who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up. Behold, the Lord. Sorry, who will stand up to each other? Who has a case against me? Let him draw near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who is he who condemns me? Behold, he will wear out their garment. The moth will eat them up. Basically, what he's saying is, God is the one, because he's near, he will vindicate me in a time of humiliation. And so whatever the seasons of life is, whether it's a dry season of life, whether it's a season of persecution, we as Christians need to be reminded that his name is Emmanuel. So in wrapping this all up, there's a blessing in 1 Kings chapter 8 that Solomon had when after he had built the temple. He said this over the people, may the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, which he commanded our fathers. So three things I want to leave with you when we think of God being near. The first of all is, I think, the importance of remembering we need to first be his children, or we need first belong to him. In this passage that we read in Matthew, it says his name will be called Jesus because he will save his people from his sins. Did Jesus die for the sins of the whole world? Yes. But that passage says he would save his people from their sins. So the first thing for us to be reminded of, if we're going to think of God with us, is first of all, ask the question, do we belong to God? That, I think, is question number one. He said he would save his people. Has he saved you from your sins? Have you embraced this Jesus, whose name is Emmanuel, God with us? If we reject him, how can we have the one who is God with us? And so the first thing is to accept the gift that God has given to us in Jesus. So key number one, I think, for us to experience God with us is to embrace Jesus as the one who saves us from our sins. Secondly, we need to also recognize that we need to be with God in order for him to be with us. Let me give you 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2. He says, this is a prophet coming to speak to King Asa, and he says this, "The Lord is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. The Lord is with you when you are with him." So this is an important thing for us to be reminded, and I think sometimes we need to be reminded God is just with us, but as a posture in life, we need to be seeking him. We need to be worshiping him. We need to be looking for him, and as we do that, it says God will let you find him. So he says God is with you when you are with him. So it's important for us to also be seeking him and to seeking to walk with him. Then I think we are finally called to believe and act on this truth. And God, I think, is displeased with our unbelief when we are saying the things like Gideon, you know, if God is with us, then why did all this happen? Or in Exodus, in the account in Exodus, is the Lord God among us or not? So this Christmas, my challenge to all of us is to remember that his name is Emmanuel, God with us. And I would again give to you in closing Psalm 73 and the last verse. It says, "But as for me, the nearness of God is my good." The nearness of God is our good, that he wants to be with his people and he wants to be near to us. And with that, it would provide courage and strength for us to do the things that he has for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message that you have given to us, that in Jesus Christ, you are with us. God, that your Spirit is near to us, your Spirit lives within us. And Father, that our prayers reach your ears. And God, that you will help us. Lord, in the same way you helped your people in the days of Haggai and said, "The Lord is with you." Lord, you are saying that to us. God, you are saying that to us in our schools. You are saying that to us in our workplaces. You are saying that to us when we gather as small groups, as a church family. You are saying that to us as we gather with family at Christmas time. God, that you are with us. And I pray, Lord, that you would help drive the unbelief that would say the opposite from our hearts. And God, we would experience your nearness and your presence in ways we have never experienced before. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.